time is precious, so you have to be productive every second of the day.
Yeah.
Either to your health, to yourself, or stop wasting time on other people's nonsense.
Hi, you're listening to Bake the Podcast, brought to you by Satiskin.
Today on Bake the Podcast, we have a very special guest, my dad. Waleed Baker chats to us about his business, his life, and raising kids. Enjoy.
I have my dad on a conversation with us just to talk about his journey and also motivate us a little bit. Hi, Dad.
Hi there.
Are you nervous to be on my podcast?
No, not nervous at all.
Okay, good. So, Dad, the reason I asked you to be on the podcast is obviously because you're not only an accomplished businessman, you've been running your business for like 35 years?
No, I'm married for 35 years. I'm running my business for about...
30 years, as old as me, right?
Yeah.
1990.
Last month, yeah. 1991,
so 29 years. And then you also somewhat of... a semi-pro athlete? Would you say you're a semi-pro athlete?
I won't say I'm a semi-pro athlete, but I try and be competitive.
Yeah.
So I try and race and do as best as I can. So sometimes they call it semi-pro. Semi-pro is a guy who doesn't work, and I'm still working on the bike. So
yeah,
I cannot say I'm a...
So my dad has done a lot of mountain biking competitions. Dad, how many epics have you done?
I've entered 11 and completed 10, and I crashed in one.
Okay, so you completed 10 epics, crashed in one, done the Cape Argus cycle tour millions of times. I don't even know how many times. You've run the Comrades.
Twice,
yeah. Have you run the Oceans, yeah?
Twice.
Ultras,
yes.
Yeah, twice Ultras. What do you think, what role does exercising or fitness play for you in your life as a businessman?
Yeah, I think for me, I've got to start my day exercising. For like a normal day starts at 4 in the morning. We do core training for about an hour, core exercises, and then like this morning. And from about 6 till 9, I was did a bike ride from Cape Town down to the city, all the way on the coast, up to Chapman's Peak and then back.
How many kilometers is that?
It's about 70 kilometers up and down.
Okay. 70 kilometers every day of your life?
Well, yesterday I did 2 hours on the watt bike, also doing 70 kilometers on the indoor trainer.
So pretty much every day of your life.
Yeah, no cycling.
Besides on our vacation. You didn't cycle at all on our vacation?
No, but I did hike and I did run and I did core exercises. So I was still exercising.
Yeah. So fitness is a big part of your life. Do you think that came from like your parents, or where did you sort of find the motivation to be athletic? Because I know you always say you're not naturally athletic.
Yeah. I think I love sport, and I love not just watching sport. I like to, if I can't be in the game, then I don't want to watch.
Yeah.
So if I don't play for the Springboks, I don't like to watch the Springboks. That's just the way I am. So
really?
I'm just want to be, either I'm in the game or I'm not at all there though.
Yeah.
And I don't want to waste my time watching other people chasing a ball.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So but did you play any rugby or soccer when you were a kid?
No, never rugby. I mean, as you go through life, you learn that time is precious. So you have to be productive every second of the day.
Yeah.
Either to your health, to yourself, or stop wasting time on other people's nonsense.
Yeah.
However, I do go on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, not to post there, but more to find what's happening in the world.
Yeah.
And I keep in contact with the world by being on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. And I also, like, via those channels, I can see what the markets are doing, what the people are saying, and how to sell to them, because I trade all the time.
Yeah. So what, Dad, would you say is like your core business?
I'm in lots of businesses, so I cannot tell you. What do you call core business?
So like your business that you spend most of your time on?
Yeah, you see, the core is not the right word for that.
Okay.
That is the business that's got most of the problems.
Okay.
At the moment, it's Pit Stop.
Pit Stop is your auto fitment center where people can get their cars fixed,
right?
Yeah,
those are the challenging. The margins are small. Theft is high. So you've got to challenge. You've got to always be on the button all the time.
Yeah.
And continuously struggle to deliver the product to the customer at the best price and make a decent margin to be able to cover your overhead.
And that was your first business, right? Pit Stop.
Pit Stop was my first business back in 20, 30 years ago. I was printing money there. And as time progressed, I knew that nothing lasts forever, like our lives as well. We're also going to die.
Yeah.
So businesses have a lifespan of 10 years.
We're also going to die.
So you must just plan for other areas. That's why I moved into transport. Yeah. In the taxi industry, which are quite big there.
Yeah.
And I also...
And you're talking about minibus taxis,
minibus,
right?
Minibus taxis, car taxis, tour buses. We do everything.
Yeah.
We hire cars.
Yeah.
So we do car rentals. And then we also do embroidery, which is...
Yes, where I used to work.
Not really a good business, but I love the business because yeah. I can brand all my clothes whenever I want it.
Yeah, let's talk about branding because, Dad, I think I learned about branding from you because you've always loved your brand, which is Pit Stop. What not a lot of people know about you is every single thing on your body. Probably just your garment isn't Pit Stop and your earphones. But tell us about how important branding, personal branding is. Where did that come from? Because you have a really nice story about that. So,
yeah, I think, you know, I was young. I was at school. And as we all young, we were like girls. So we always talked to the girls. And I was asking this girl, I think I was in standard 7 or 8. And I asked this girl her name and she gave me a name. And I chatted a bit to her and I walked away and then I realized she never asked me mine.
Yeah.
And I thought, but I also don't want to tell her. I don't want to be forward and tell her what my name is because then I'm going to be forward. So I went from there and I found a place that can put my name on my jersey. So I put my name on my school jersey, Waleed. So whenever somebody spoke to me, I can see who they're talking to. And that's where I learned always to don't tell people who you are. People must know who you are.
Yeah.
So with the result, when I started Pit Stop, I changed my name from Waleed to Pit Stop.
Yeah.
So people would know me as Pit Stop. And I built the brand in the cycling, for example. It's a set brand there. People know the brand. If I go anywhere in the world, I went to the Trans Alps, and people see me there with a kit, and they would say, Cape Epic, Cape Epic.
Yeah.
Because they've seen the brand at Cape Epic.
Yeah.
Which it was.
And the Trans Alps is in Italy, right?
Trans Alps is from Austria to Germany to Austria to Germany to Austria to Italy. Austria to Switzerland to Italy.
Okay, cool. And so you've like almost made your brand international in a sense through cycling and just always loving the brand, wearing the brand wherever you go.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I don't know. I still do this every day. You know, so
yeah.
I refuse to wear a cap, for example, if I don't have some of my businesses marketed on there.
Yeah, so, even my business is on your cap these days.
Yeah, I have that and also have your business on my cycling kit now.
Yes, you can see Baked Online on my dad's cycling kit. So if you do spot him, give him a hoot if you're in Cape Town or anywhere because you cycle in like KZN, Joburg, all those places. Dad, can you also tell us a bit about branding on taxis? Because obviously in our generation in 2020, we see branding on taxis all the time. But I think when you started doing that, it wasn't really common. So I almost feel like you were the first person to brand a taxi here in Cape Town.
Yeah, I think how the taxi branding came about is I had a tenant at the time and I wanted, and he had a lot of taxis, minibus taxis, and I asked, he owed me some money for rent that he hadn't paid. And then I asked him to brand my Pit Stop brand on these taxis to market my brand because I felt I was selling a product or a commodity that the motors are using, so I need to market to them.
Yes.
And then he gave me a story why I couldn't do it. And then I decided, wait, man, why mustn't I? Why don't I buy a taxi license? I put my own taxi on and I get paid to advertise my own brand.
Yeah.
So with the result, I was advertising Pit Stop and I was earning money with that.
Yeah.
Instead of paying to advertise, I was getting paid. So much so that I developed the taxi into 50 minibus taxis I operated at one time.
Yeah.
For about 10 years.
Yeah, it's so annoying because at school, like, people would always be, like, complaining to me about taxi drivers because it was your taxis. And I'm like, I don't run the taxi drivers. They run themselves. So that was really, like, interesting growing up, being a taxi owner's daughter. I think people always think, like, you know, you don't really have control over the taxis, do you, Dad? Like, you can't tell them how to drive.
Well, in the minute the driver leaves the base, he's
on his own.
He's on his own, yeah.
Yeah.
But the secret with taxi operations and taxi operators, you got to manage them and you got to know how to speak to them. You know how to motivate them and so that they can be conscious not to destroy. If you upset the taxi driver going out in the morning, he goes out there, stuffs your vehicle, it's going to cost you a lot of money.
Yeah.
You got to keep nice. You got to know how to speak to these guys so they can look after your vehicle. Otherwise, you're going to go down.
Yeah. And I think what's really interesting about your taxi side of your business is that you've incorporated your family members into that. I know that Opa, your dad, my Opa, worked for you, did I help you run the taxis, and now Ayub, who's my brother, your son, runs the transport side, the motor vehicles. So, yeah, sport taxis. So how important is it for you to include your family in your business dynamic? Or your legacy,
rather? You know, I think for us it's important. I obviously would like to include Ayub into much more, my son, into much more of the operations, but some of he seems to enjoy the transport, and he just like to stick to that. So he's currently only doing that. However, there's a property company that's huge, which he needs to. I ask him a lot of the time to come and have a look at and to take an interest, but he doesn't really have much interest to that.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting with a problem, and I don't know who's going to do that part of the business. But
it's not me. But just saying. Definitely not me. I think maybe Bulkis, who's my sister, by the way, I think maybe Bulkis can go into property. I definitely cannot manage construction stuff.
Yeah, I think talking about Bulkis, I mentioned to her that, you know, we need a financial director to run the administration of Pitstop. And I told her she must try and get the done with the article. She was talking about going to work overseas. I said, no, that's not going to happen. You've got to come here and run the admin of the business, the financial side, because I struggle with that.
Yeah, totally. Dad, I just want to go back a little bit and talk about your parents or your upbringing. So I know that you started your very first business was selling kusistas. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? And for those who are listening that aren't from Cape Town, a kusista is sort of a spicy donut with coconut. It's a delicacy, if you will. It's a sweet,
not
very...
spicy, really.
It's spicy and sweet.
That's spicy.
It's spicy, Dad. A kusista is spicy.
Kusista, I don't think it's spicy.
There's spices in there.
Yeah, I think it's just sweet. But anyway.
Sweet and spicy. So tell us about your first business as a child. I think you were maybe eight years old.
I think my mother, we lived in Ocean View. Obviously, back in those days, you know, being colored and being disadvantaged. So we all battled, we all poor. And my mother started making some samosas on a Friday, pies on a Saturday, and kusistas on a Sunday. And myself and my brother, older brother, and my two sisters, we had to go sell.
Yeah.
And somehow, they couldn't really sell as well as I do, so I used to sell for all of them.
Okay.
So I was a really good salesman as a young child, so I always had this way of how to sell product. And I would sell mine, go back and take my brothers and sell these, and take my sister and sell these. So I'd sell everybody's ones.
And how old were you when you started that?
I was 8.
8 years
eight
old?
Years old, yeah.
Yeah. And you were working for your family, essentially.
I was working for my mom, but I also, you know, I was quite spoiled by my mother, so.
You were spoiled by your mother?
Big time. Yeah,
yeah, that's why you spoil us. Why would you say you were spoiled by your mom?
Because she would buy me anything. She would make debt to buy me what I want.
Yeah.
So if I wanted a motorbike at school, she would go buy it and pay it off.
Yeah, you seem to love, we see the common thread of transport and the motor industry in your life. And you are a qualified mechanic, right, Dad?
I'm a qualified fitter and turner, yeah.
Okay, so where does that, because all of my uncles as well, they're all in sort of good with their hands. Where does that come from? Does it come from Opa that you guys are so good with, like, fixing things, mechanics, that all that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think of my father, my late dad was an artisan. He was a coppersmith, welder. So he worked with his hands, and because of that, you get to that to work with hands. I mean, if you look at Ayub, by the time he came along, when he was a young boy at 8 years old and I was still working on cars, he wanted to be a mechanic like his daddy.
Yeah.
That's what Ayub said. However, by the time he grew up and I was in business, he then changed it from being a mechanic to be a businessman like his father. That's what he now wants to be.
Yeah.
Much he doesn't say that, but that's what he wants to be.
Yeah, he's 35 and still worships his dad like the rest of us. Dad, what advice do you have for my business specifically? For Baked Online?
Yeah, I think...
Baked Media, actually.
Baked Media, Baked Online. I like the brand, and if I look at the following and the people, somehow you've managed to find a way that people like to follow you, people like to listen to your opinion, and people like the way you put messages across. So you've got a good following, so you've got a market. So I think it is an uncapped business that we need to really uncap. And I think you have plans to actually... maximize that influence that you have over people.
Yeah, and I think part of maximizing it is, of course, launching the collection, which is coming up soon, the Baked Collection. And Dad, you helped me quite a bit with sort of making decisions around that Because I would say you have almost a natural gift at decision making, whereas I myself struggle to make decisions. I'm quite indecisive. I can't quite get there. So what is it for you when you're making a decision? What runs through your mind? What kind of checklist do you put through when you're making a big business decision, whether to go ahead with something or not?
You know, coming to just a small example, I've just done the renovation for my tenant at Studio 47, and he wanted some offices which wasn't part of the plan.
Yeah.
And then I said to him, okay, we're going to do those offices, and I designed those offices for him in my mind,
yeah,
not on a drawing. And I got my guys to do those offices, and in fact, if you go look at those offices now, you'll swear some designer designed that thing. But I actually imaged it in my mind, visualized the whole thing, and I got my guys to do it.
Yeah.
And the owner, which the Mr. Ghulam, he's 77 years old. He mentioned to me that, you know, he's lived a long time. He's been in lots of businesses. He's traded with lots of people. But he's never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
A guy can come in, not even a boulder, and he can put up a building, and he can finish it off like it's not even added.
Yeah. So what was that when your tenant asks you, like, I need this? What goes through your mind in that moment? Where do you start? Do you make a mind map? Do you put on a board?
When I design, or do anything, I look at how the operation is going to work.
Okay.
What's the advantages and the benefits of having an office above everybody else with glass in front of you?
Yeah.
And everybody can just see where you are, and you can see where the shop operates.
Okay.
So if anybody has a problem, you can spot it from the top.
So almost like a little bit of like a SWOT analysis, pros and cons. Strengths and weaknesses of the decision.
When you design, like, for example, clothing, or you design anything, you got to design for what the market requires.
Yeah.
So you got to have that good feel. Either you have that or you don't have
it. Oh, you don't. Like a gut feel almost. I know that's what Barney calls it, gut feel.
Yeah. I think everybody in life is born with some sort of gift and natural God-given talents. And I think mine is just business.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't think yours is business specifically. I think it's decision making. Because I think you're very good at making difficult decisions quickly, which I think that's probably your gift. And you're quite a killer salesperson as well, I would say. So besides the influence that mom, who's my granny, by the way, had on your life in terms of sales, what influence do you think that your dad or your parenting from your father's side, being a Navy guy?
My mother was the selling side and entrepreneurial side. My dad, without a question of a doubt, he taught me discipline. He taught me, for example, I started a job, my apprenticeship at Caltex Oil in Milnerton. We lived in Ocean View. I had a motorbike, and I started work at 8 o'clock, and my father wanted me to leave home at 5 o'clock.
Oh.
And I said to my dad, I get to work at 6 o'clock. I'm going to sit there for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And yeah, if your motorbike gets a puncture, you leave it there, you run to work, you'll still be on time, you'll never be late.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a philosophy that he taught me. And when he worked for me for 20 years, we worked together for 20 years, you don't get a better guy, more punctual, more organized, more systemized, and more accountable for whatever he does.
Yeah.
He taught me those kind of... And with business, you need everything. You need administrative skill. You need entrepreneurial skill. You need organization. You need everything. So
yeah.
My father's part of the discipline side. I mean, I was talking to Bill Gates this morning, and I was saying every morning when I get up, I don't want to do core exercise because it's like a slip.
Yeah.
But then I want to try and cut it short or think about cutting it short, and I just got to force myself to do the whole process.
Yeah.
And I mean, I haven't come back from a spinal, a disc injury. Couldn't walk 5 months ago. Couldn't cycle. I had 5 surgeons telling me how they got to operate, and I bought a book by Stuart McGill called The Back Mechanic, Fixing Your Back Without Surgery, and I read it, studied it, and I followed these processes, and whoops, my back is back no more. I did the August 3 again this year.
What was your time this year?
It was 2:57.
2 hours 57. How many kilometers?
109
kilometers. Jeez, that's hectic. I feel like I need to reward myself for even talking about that by giving myself a chocolate. Dad, can you tell us about breaking your back the first time, how that was for you? I think I was about 14 when you broke your back.
Yeah, it was 2004. It was on the bicycle at 5 a.m. in the morning. They were working on the road. Somebody moved the pavement to the center. I didn't see it. I hit this thing, went up, came down, couldn't get up.
Yeah.
And then they took the ambulance, put me down. Then they were going to operate on me, and they had to operate on me to put plates in to support my spinal cord because my vertebra was broken.
Yeah.
And give me artificial vertebra. And then the doctor said to me, I won't be able to cycle again. I won't be able to run again, blah, blah. In 2005, I did a Three Oceans Ultra a year after that for the first time.
Yeah.
And I did it again in 10, in 11. And I cycled the Epic 10 times after that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my back is well. But the key with a back injury is you must have a strong core.
Yeah.
And people don't always want to work on their core, but that's the main part of your body.
How long were you out for when you broke your back?
I was laying here in my office for 4 months.
Yeah, I remember you moved into the office with your surgery.
I couldn't go to the toilet. I couldn't do anything. I had to get physios to help me to get feeling in my one arm.
Yeah. So. Did you have to learn to walk again?
Yes, I had to learn how to walk again.
Yeah. It's so funny because I've totally blocked that entire experience out of my mind. Like, I don't remember it at all. I remember you sleeping at the office in your surgical bed. I think it felt like you were there for the whole year. I don't know how long you say you were there for 4 months. I don't remember you, the process of you learning to walk. I can't remember any of that stuff. Mm. It's so weird. So that's why I'm asking you about it, because it's like, I can't remember, you know, what that process was like for you. And then how soon after learning to walk and all that, did you start exercising again?
Yeah, I think 6 months later, I was starting to run with a brace on. We just still had a neck brace on. And yeah. I was running with that on. And then I started cycling with that on. Slowly, and I did the August cycle tour the very next year. So
yeah.
Didn't do well, but I did it.
Yeah.
And I ran oceans at there. So, and slowly but surely I built up and I got stronger.
Yeah. Don't you feel like you're a better athlete because of that experience?
No, I think, you know, I think to being an exercise junkie and a sports training guy, but character, it becomes a drag on the system. Like for me, I cannot work in the start of my day if I don't train.
Yeah.
So I've got to train every day, 3 hours a day. Get up early. I mean, this morning I went to the ride, core exercises.
So funny because I see that same thing in Pawnee as well, because we went on a family holiday. You were with us. To KZN, and Pawnee woke up and wanted to go to the gym, and then he discovered there wasn't a gym there, and then he was in a bad mood for like the entire day because it didn't work out. So he's also got that thing of like he needs to work out every single day or like he can't function. And you yourself as well. I think you guys went on a trail run or something.
Yeah, we went on a hike. And also, you know, I do core exercise, so I can do it anyway.
Yeah.
So that's the nicest part. You know, I don't want to like get myself used to a gym. Then I can only train in the gym.
Yeah.
So I try and train in the office if I have to.
Yeah.
Because everything is there and it's just, I don't need any equipment to do that.
Yeah.
And if I don't have a bike, which I didn't take with over this holiday, which is not normal for me, I normally take my bike with, but I felt I wasn't going to spend time with the family because I want to be 5 hours on the bike and it's not going to work. So I left the bike and I rather did running or hiking with the family for 3 days. So
it was super fun. And then I beat you in sprinting.
And then, yeah.
I'm joking, I never beat you. I tried my best. We had a family sprinting race. I think what is really cool about both you and mom is that health and fitness is important to both of you guys. Mom not so much with the exercise, but definitely with eating. She's very cool about that, like being healthy and all that kind of thing. Okay, so Dad, tell us a bit about your kids and what we are like, each of us. I know we're very different.
Yeah, I think there are two girls and one son. The girls are more, I would say, closer to character-wise. Ayub was completely on the opposite side of the valley, and Ayub is more like his mother.
Yeah.
They're introvertish. They don't really want to attack. Whereas I think Aisha's got more of me in terms of attacking. She will go out there, and if she sees an opportunity, she want to go there, which is you.
Oh, thanks.
Bilkis is a very confident, organized girl. She's going to work her ass off.
She's super disciplined as well.
Disciplined. She was just saying to me this morning she was not training because whatever, Oceans is cancelled. I said, no, you got to just get it. Yeah, so I think every one of you guys are more, the girls are more like me. I would say 70% me and 30% the mother. Ayuba's 70% the mother and 30% me.
Yeah, mom is more of an intellectual, wouldn't you say? Like she prefers to like be indoors reading or like...
Yeah, look, mom, when she meets people, she also interacts very well, without a doubt. But she's quite happy to stay by herself.
Yeah.
Not even worry about anybody else.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, people want to know, when do I retire? I like work, man. I like people. I like the pressure that I'm under every day seems to be what I love the most.
Yeah. Well, what is it that you love about the pressure, Dad?
I think I love the challenges, you know, getting things done.
Yeah. That's when will you retire? How old are you now?
56.
It was just your birthday, yeah. 56, married 35 years. I'm 30, my brother's 35. 34.
Mm, you'll be 35.
I can't remember people's ages anymore. It's crazy. Yeah, Dad, so you're 56. Usually, I feel like when Mom and Opa were 56, they felt really old. Like, we felt like they were older than us, you know, like grandparents. Whereas, like, I look at our kids now, you don't look like a normal grandpa. So, like, you're not old. You're not walking crookedly. You're quite fit, young, slender. Same with Mom as well. When Mom plays with the kids, like, you know, Granny's their favorite person. She's like, gives it all. What do you think the difference is between yourselves and your parents and we, like, you know, the different dynamic there, whereas your parents were like, okay, we're 50, we're old, we must stay at home, and you guys are more like, we're 50, we're young, we want to go get it. What do you think the difference is?
I think the difference is the time that you have, that you're in.
Yeah.
They were in a very difficult time when they grew up. They were poor, disadvantaged. There was not much opportunities for them. It was all survival.
Yeah.
And then they became captivated, I would say, the word maybe, with
yeah.
religion, and maybe do the more religion stuff instead of exercising.
Yeah.
Whereas I was pleased that my mother sent me to a Livingston High School. I got interacting with dynamic people
yeah.
that wants to go ahead.
Yeah.
And that exposed me to that sort of environment. And then I was from a sport perspective, I've always been active, you know. I did my first big event when I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
I was the youngest entrant in the big walk from Simonstown to Cape Town. In that particular year, I was on the front page of the Cape Times.
Yeah, cool.
I was the youngest entrant, and the guy next to me was the oldest entrant.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. I feel like Harley's going to be the youngest, like, August cycle. Actually, maybe Amin even. Amin's a good cyclist.
Well, you know,
there's a lot of pressure on your grandkids to be athletes, actually. With one uncle as an athlete and a grandfather.
You know, I said to Ayub, I thought he was a springboard scrum off.
Yeah.
So, but you know.
Like you always think your child is the most talented person.
So I think the kids must do what they want.
Yeah.
Nobody forced me to ride a bike. Nobody forced me to do events. That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it. It's in my DNA. It's part of my personality.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important that when you have that, because it relates to business as well, it's how you're going to become a successful business guy. I mean, in sport, you learn something. When you start, you are a finish. You don't give up. That's you learn it in sports. So in business, you say to yourself, okay, I want to do this. And then you've got to set your mind on it.
Yeah.
To do what you set out to do.
Dad, I just wanted to ask you something that came to mind now. I know that as kids, for the girls especially, you kind of groomed Ayub, who's our older brother, to kind of come into the business, but you didn't leave that to the side when it came to the girls. You always like pushed us to study. You pushed us to do well at school. Most fathers maybe in your position would say, oh, the girls will marry rich men, they'll be fine, but now I need to focus on my son. So what was it thinking for you, or how important was it that your daughters sort of get an education? I mean, Burkus is now doing a master's, for example.
Yeah, I think it was always very important, right, for let's talk about you, for example, to get a degree. And as you know, I wanted to be an attorney, which I thought you should be a lawyer.
Yes, I know.
For multiple of reasons.
What are the reasons?
And your character was that way, I think. I felt.
Really, am I argumentative?
Yes, very. And you can challenge anything, which is, I saw that as a child.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you had that tendency to be an entrepreneurial marketing type of person.
Yeah.
That was also what you have had at the time. So then you did go to university. You started with business science and you realized it's not what you want. And you've changed it to marketing.
Yeah.
Which I think was maybe the perfect decision at the same time. And also, I really took embroidery specialist from a friend of mine who wasn't working well because I thought this would be a good business for you.
Yeah.
Which I tried to put you in, but then I discovered you struggled to interconnect with the level of the staff that you had to work
yeah,
with.
Yeah, it was very hard for me to work with laborers. It's a totally different thinking.
Yeah, and that is also maybe because of how you were brought up.
Like I'm a bit more privileged.
I mean, if you ask me what is the success about me being a taxi boss, it was my ability to think like a taxi driver.
To relate,
To relate to them, to talk to them, to discipline them. I mean, I was the most successful, if I call myself in the Western Cape, the most successful taxi guy ever. What I achieved? It was such a story that the Minister of Transport, which is Robin Carlyle, he made a statement at a big function that, guys, you're taxi owners, if you want to know how to get to the top via taxis. Please go visit Waleed Baker because he's done that.
Yeah.
He's got, he runs the taxi business and he built a multi-millionaire empire off that.
Yeah.
Which is fact.
And I think that's like you're saying, it's because you can relate to your staff, but Dad, you also have the ability to relate to people who are on another level. So you can relate to the people from the people you came from in Ocean View, but you can also relate to people like the minister, like big people in government, and you have that ability to transcend. And I think I've kind of adopted that ability. Although that said, I can relate to 90% of people, but working with staff, laborers specifically, and labor unions was probably the biggest challenge in my whole life. Do you remember I went to hospital because I had an ulcer from stress because the factory was so stressful. So I think that's definitely a talent in itself. And a lot of people think I haven't worked and I just like live off you, which is quite interesting. Even my own brother asked me if I live off you. I actually have a real job and I do work. And I think that embroidery specialist experience taught me how to work hard and to appreciate the being able to work as well. Okay, Dad, so thank you. I know it's really hard for you to give us 30 minutes of your day. So I just want to thank you for that and for really being honest with us and open with us. Where can everyone find you on social media? Because I know you love social media.
Yeah, I think currently you can find me on Baker Online.
Oh, thanks, Dad.
Because,
the plug.
And also, I've got a handle on Twitter called Baker Pitstop, which we can find me on. And Pitstop claim on, we are quite well marketing a brand on social media at the moment.
Yeah.
With a big success honestly. And where do you find us? Pitstop is in Claremont in Imam Harun Road. We have a store there. We have one in Fishhook in Main Road. We have one in Montague Drive. And we have one in Hoodstock.
Okay, cool.
And I've just currently restructured and I've currently reorganized it where we've put each unit by himself and seems to work well. So hopefully if it all goes well with Fishhook now, it's going on his own. Part of my organization, but on his own separately run. If that works, then we're gonna grow Pitstop again, which is what I would like to do.
Yeah, because everyone needs to fix their cars, guys. It's very important.
Yeah, I think, but the formula of the car is to buy the product at the right price, which is we are managing to do that again. We are making sure to buy and like for example, Pitstop Claremont is organized and run by Malika as an administrative person in charge there, and she's doing a super job.
Yeah,
and now we're doing the same model in Fishhook, and then yeah, and if it was work there, we're gonna open others.
Yeah, cool. So you guys can have your cars checked at Pitstop in Cape Town. And then, Dad, we can, if there are any tourists who are coming in, shouldn't be coming in though because it's coronavirus, but if you are coming in and you do need a cab, can you plug your cab company, please?
Yeah, you can contact Sport Taxis and Sport 24 Tours.
And then you can also get any embroidery branding done. If you are inspired by this chat and you want to get your personal brand out there, you can have your embroidery done at Embroidery Specialist. You can find us online, embroideryspecialist.co.za. So yeah, Dad, thank you so much for coming in. You can catch me on at Baked Online. You can follow our podcast and any podcast app that's available on your phone or the internet. And then, of course, find me on www.bakedonline.co.za for lots of updates, and we'll chat soon. Bye.
This is a POC podcast
powered by Blue Blood.